The highly anticipated clash between Manchester City and Arsenal promises to be a thrilling showdown. While City have been dominant, Arsenal's recent form and defensive solidity suggest there's more to this one than meets the eye. Hello and welcome to Hit the Target, powered by Hollywood Bets. I'm your host, Deshwan, and with me in studio today is England football analyst, Nigel Naika.
Great to be here, Desh. And yeah, I think you summed it up great there. It's a massive tie. We're looking forward to two of the better teams in the league over the past two seasons. And yeah, highly anticipated.
Nige, the Gunners have pushed Man City close over the last 2 years and we're expecting them to go better this time around. How do you feel Arteta is going to set up ahead of this fixture?
I think considering with what's available to him in terms of personnel, I think he will look to set up to play off the counter. I think it is also a good tactic when you're playing such a juggernaut like City to let them have the ball.
Yeah. You know, speaking about that, notable away wins against Aston Villa and Tottenham, where Arsenal were missing two key players, show that they've improved from last season.
Yeah, look, the squad depth looks frightening right now. It looks like we can miss Odegaard, Rice, two of our best midfielders, and still get major results away to Spurs. I think the team looks really complete now, and Mikel has so many options available to him that if you are missing some of your better players, there's players ready to step up.
Yeah, and the plays that will be out on show this weekend is going to be absolutely pivotal as City are currently top of the table. I mean, they've started in incredible form, 100% perfect record going into this weekend, played four league fixtures, won four league fixtures. Talk to me about the mental load facing Manchester City in this kind of form.
Yeah, I think it's a daunting task, like you said. I think City are notoriously slow starters, and then to see them flying out the blocks like this is a bit scary. They've done it four times in a row, winning the league, and now going for a fifth time. So you would think that they're tired, but it doesn't seem that like there's any signs of letting up right now.
Yeah, one man that's hit the ground running is Erling Haaland. I think he's already bagged two hat-tricks. It's only the fifth game of the season, or potentially his fifth game of the season this weekend. He looks certainly unplayable.
Yeah, I think we ran out of superlatives to describe this man. I think he's a bit of a robot in terms of his goals. So when he doesn't score, we think he's had an off day. But yeah, I think in terms of his sheer volume, we're truly blessed to witness him in full flight.
Yeah, you know, you're speaking about when he's in full flight, but against Inter Milan, he didn't look the kind of threat that he normally is. Of course, it was away from home against possibly an unfamiliar opposition in the Inter Milan Giants. You look at their Champions League final not so long ago and a very different performance in that game.
Yeah, I think one of Haaland's big criticism is that he doesn't go a bit missing in games where he's not affecting them with goals. And I think against a team like Inter, where they do compress you and defend deep in their block, there's not much space for Erling. And yeah, I think in these games, he does struggle a bit. But yeah, look, he's the best striker in the world. So let's put some respect on his name.
You can say that again. I mean, he's already leading the charts at this moment in time. I think it's 8 from his opening four league fixtures. I mean, absolutely incredible numbers when you look at, you know, the level of the Premier League and how he performed last season. There was some question marks about how he'd perform this time around, but, you know, looking like the same usual threat that he is. Of course, joining him in that City attack has been Kevin De Bruyne. Now, of course, he was subbed off last night against Inter Milan with a half-time injury. Do you think he's going to play any part in this fixture?
I think City would hope he does. I think he's a major part of their creative arsenal. Forget the pun. But yeah, I think he's going to be a big miss if he is not playing. But yeah, the depth that City have is crazy. I mean, they just bring in a Grealish or Bernardo Silva and play a different style of play.
Yeah, one player that also has stood up and risen to that Man City team is Savinho. I think he's been incredible since he's joined Man City. Also had a bit of a cameo appearance last time, of course, starting, but not making out into that second half. Do you think he's going to maybe take this game and announce himself in this Man City team? Because I want to say that Arsenal is the number one contender right now.
Yeah, I think there wouldn't be a better stage to announce yourself as a new City signing. I think, like you said, he's footed in like a glove at the City team. Pep really works well with wingers, and he looks like a carbon copy of Riyad Mahrez, and I mean, really, really silky footballer. And yeah, I mean, he's going to give probably Timber, who might play left back, a really tough game on the weekend.
Yeah, you know, speaking about Guardiola and how he set his team up, his future is nearing an end. And, you know, you look at his dominance that he's had in the Premier League so far. Can you see him actually going out to the bank?
I think that would be the target. I think what has set Pep apart from most managers is his ability to innovate and change up every season. And I think he's done it again this season. City look like a different beast. They're chasing 5 league titles in a row, which is unprecedented. And yeah, I think it is really amazing what he's achieved. And if he does leave, it's going to be a major hole in the Premier League.
Yeah, well, you know, there's always drama when it comes to the Premier League. And currently, their 115 charge legal battle has rumored to have begun, if I'm not mistaken. Do you think that's going to shadow the plays, or is that Man City media team too good at what they do? Is Guardiola too good at what he does? Do they offer the protection to the players and make sure that the results on the pitch do the talking?
Yeah, I think they would have already spoken about it, like you said. Look, what goes around behind the scenes is behind the scenes. You got to go on and get on the pitch and do the job. This has been going on for some time now, and I think they would have addressed it in the team. And look, it's for the lawyers to deal with. Pep has distanced himself from this claims a long time ago. So I think their focus is on the pitch, and it's showing that they are the best team in the world on the pitch.
Yeah, well, you know, they haven't been the most impenetrable teams of late. I mean, excluding that goalless draw against Inter Milan in the UEFA Champions League, they conceded against Ipswich, who was promoted to the Premier League this season. They conceded against West Ham, and they conceded in the first minute against Brentford in their most recent Premier League outing. Is that Man City defense still finding its feet?
Yeah, I think they are. I think they're very susceptible to conceding at least one, maybe even two, like you mentioned, against these teams that they shouldn't be conceding. But at the other end, they do make up for it. So I think they will outscore you. But yeah, they are very susceptible at the back.
Well, you know, speaking about outscoring them, they're going to have their work cut out against this Arsenal team. I mean, the Gunners have kept 3 clean sheets in their opening 4 league games. It's absolutely frightening to find out that they've just conceded once in the Premier League this season.
Yeah, it's scary. And that once was with 10 men against Brighton. So this Arsenal defense is really next level. I think they had the best defense in the league last season, and then they've added Calafiori to it, and now they've got Timber, fully fit Timber. So I think it really does look impenetrable at this point.
Yeah, but you know, you look at Arsenal and recently how close they've come into this fixture. I mean, you look at last season, they took 4 points off Man City. Just break that down for me.
I think it was a major win at the Emirates, which mentally gave the team a big boost. I think going away to the Etihad with a lot on the line, they just couldn't get over the line, got a draw in the end, and City turned the screw and ended up winning the league. But I thought mentally 4 points over a season period was a major boost for Arsenal. And I think going into this game, they will be targeting a win to have another mental nudge at City.
Yeah, of course, with those 2 fixtures, we came 2 clean sheets for the Gunners now. I mean, it looks like Arteta has got Pep's number. I mean, results don't speak for themselves, but I must say it's almost like the result is not a true reflection of their performance on the day, because you know, whilst they've taken 4 of the 6 maximum points, history isn't on their side.
Yeah, no doubt. I think City have wiped the floor with Arsenal in the past. It's just over the past season and a half, where we've competed, and last season where we've got results against them. And it does look like Arteta has the blueprint now on how to defend against the City team, how to shut out Erling Haaland, who is always a goal threat. I mean, 2 shutouts last season. This Arsenal team like to defend, and I think it showed in those games last season as well.
Yeah. Can you see a bit of temperaments coming into this fixture? I mean, this derby in its own right has shown a few red cards over the last 3-4 seasons or so. You know, of course, you don't have the hotheads like Granit Xhaka, of course. You know, your Fernandinho is no longer with the Manchester City, but surely there's players over there that have the tendency to lose their mind, or do you think that it's drilled out of them?
I think to an extent it is tried to be drilled out of them, but look, in these high tempo games with a lot riding on it, look, Arsenal are the likeliest challengers, and City know that that Arsenal are coming. So I wouldn't play down these emotions, because this is one of the major games in England.
Yeah, you know, let's talk about the Arsenal attack now. Kai Havertz, he did start the season off in fairly decent fashion. You know, he's opened his account for the season. He's shown that he can put the ball in the back of the net, but of late he hasn't quite bagged that many goals. I think against Tottenham, he blanked on his international duty. He did score, but is he quite the same player that you saw last season?
Yeah, I think Kai has come back even better this season, in my opinion. I think his fitness levels are crazy. He ran his socks off against Spurs away. He's such a complete player, in the sense that he might not get you the sheer volume of goals that Erling Haaland does, but his knitting of play is so good, and he's a box threat in the terms of, yeah, he will get you a goal every other game.
All right. Well, you know, there is a bit of a missing piece in that Arsenal attack. Michael Odegaard has been ruled out for this clash, including your Champions League bouts with Atalanta, if I'm not mistaken. How big of a conundrum is that for Arteta?
I think it's a major miss for him. Thankfully, Arteta does have solutions in the squad. He showed it against Spurs. Trossard came in. He's got Jesus on the bench. The only issue with missing Odegaard is he's a real tempo controller. Our games are less chaotic with him, because we control more of the games in his deep build-up. When he gets up the pitch, he can get us into a higher block. And yeah, he's a really integral part of the team, and missing him is a major miss.
Yeah, looking at the opposite end of the pitch, how impressed have you been with Jurrien Timber, Gabriel Saliba, and Ben White? Because they look like they've been playing together for years.
Yeah, really impressed. I think Arteta has drilled them into a really good back four. But if you look at them individually, they're also very good 1v1 defenders, and players that like defending. And I think when you mix that up together, like how Arteta has done, you get a really good back four that doesn't like to concede.
Yeah, David Raya, of course, being ousted into that first team setup. Aaron Ramsdale being sold to a club like Southampton. I mean, bit of a mismatch over there. When you look at top end of the league to the bottom, is he the man to come up clutch in this fixture?
I think Raya has been our best player this season so far in these four games. I think he's pulled out some clutch saves. He's also been the best keeper last season. So yeah, I think we're going to turn to him again. I think he's been one of our better performers over the past few games. And yeah, if he is to pull off another one and another clean sheet, it would be a really good performance and a good result for Arsenal.
Yeah, looking at your bench, you know, you've got the likes of Raheem Sterling, Gabriel Jesus. You mentioned Trossard as well, who has been called off from the bench more times than I can count. But also Ethan Nwaneri, coming off the academy conveyor belt.
Yeah, I think he's one that we Arsenal fans are most excited about. He looks like he's got a lot of skill, a lot of technical ability, and yeah, made his debut at the age of 15 in the Premier League. So there's a lot of promise from Ethan.
All right. Well, Nige, that being said, I need you to give me a prediction on this one.
I think, based on the results last season and how good Arsenal are defending, I don't see them losing. So I'm going with a double chance here on Arsenal.
Wow.
I do
At the
see
Etihad.
at the Etihad, I think Arsenal got a very good draw last season at the Etihad, and I think they can replicate that, counting on the defense being better this season. And yeah, Rice will be back as well. So I think they do get something.
All right. Goals in this one?
Yeah, definitely goals. I see goals. I don't see a winner. I
Yeah.
can't pick a winner, but I do see goals in this one.
All right. Well, we're gonna have to wait and see how that one plays out. Let's look ahead to the other fixtures in the league this weekend. Of course, there's a London derby which sees West Ham take on Chelsea. Now, of course, West Ham not having the best of starts under Julian Lopetegui. Just one win from their four league outings this season.
Yeah, I think they'll be disappointed, especially with how they've splashed the cash. They've brought in a few good players. But yeah, I think it's time to turn it around, considering the players at his disposal.
Well, that sounds exactly like the Chelsea setup as well, talking about splashing the cash, but not having the best of times under Maresca. Of course, they started with a defeat to Man City, but went on a undefeated run since then. Bit of form coming to this fixture.
Yeah, I look to have turned the corner. The City game, you can kind of discount because City will beat most teams in the league. I think they've turned it around well since then. I think 6 goals against Wolves, and then you go away to Bournemouth, which was a really good win as well. So I think with the riches in the squad, it was only a matter of time that, you know, Chelsea do come good. And let's see if that is the case.
Yeah, well, they're currently hovering in 8th position outside of the top 4 by a mere 2 points. Can you see them actually climbing into the top 4 this weekend?
I think that they will probably get a result. I don't think they win. I think West Ham also in desperate need of result. And at home, I think I'm backing the draw.
Wow. Okay. Well, we're going to have to wait and see how that London derby plays out. Moving ahead, we've got Aston Villa up against Wolves. Now, Villa having a bit of a topsy-turvy start to the Premier League season. One defeat, but 3 wins.
Yeah, I think Emery has done another really good job in terms of recruitment in the summer, and they look like a good team as well. Only lost to Arsenal this season. Also won in Europe on the week. So yeah, I mean, a really good team that you don't want to face.
Yeah, well, their opposition in this one is having a torrid time. I think Wolves are currently in the relegation zone. 3 defeats from their opening 4 league outings. Only Southampton and Everton have lost more thus far.
Yeah, I think when I watched Wolves play this season, I think I watched them twice this season. And on both occasions, they impressed me, but still lost. I think a result is around the corner, but I don't see it coming against Villa.
All right. Are you calling another defeat for Gary O'Neill's men?
Yeah, unlucky as it may seem, I think Villa are too good for them.
All right. Well, Fulham up against high-flying Newcastle. The Magpies in 3rd position under Eddie Howe. It's all systems go at the Magpies right now.
Yeah, I think they are getting good results. They're a settled team under Eddie now. I think it's going into his 3rd year at the helm. And yeah, solid team. You know what you're going to get with them. A very physical, run their socks off. And yeah, honest, hardworking team.
Yeah, of course, the only team that they drew to was at Shocker against Bournemouth, but impressive wins against Wolves and Tottenham Hotspur, respectively, ahead of this one. It looks like another top-off finish for them.
Yeah, I think last season was a distraction with Europe, and now they have no distractions. It's just the league, and I think they can focus on getting back into Europe.
All right, let's look at Marco Silva's out for them. I mean, Fulham haven't had the best of starts. Back-to-back draws against Ipswich and Fulham came after another draw against Preston, the EFL Cup, where Preston just nudged them 16-15 in the penalty shootouts.
Kind of a shocking result there in the pens. I think everyone was scoring. I don't know what the goalkeepers are doing there. But yeah, like you said, Fulham not getting the best of results so far. An entertaining team to watch, however. I think Marco Silva has got them playing attacking football. It's just about now getting some consistent results.
Yeah, you know, well, let's actually stick with the Fulham for a little bit longer, because the attack has been revived. I mean, Emile Smith Rowe has come in. He's shown what he can do. Of course, they pinned Raul Jimenez down to a long-term contract. But even the likes of Rodrigo Muniz, he hasn't quite shown what he can do given the number 9 jersey, because last season I believe he was looked at as more of a squad player, but came in clutch towards the tail end, and then they obviously paid restored faith in him, but he hasn't quite delivered.
Yeah, I think he had a bit of a purple patch last season where he was just couldn't do any wrong. And I think they would look to him to maybe try and replicate that. He's a really good player. But yeah, they are blessed with a lot of attackers, like you mentioned, Smith Rowe. They also signed Reece Nelson on deadline day, Alex Iwobi. So they are
more gunners.
Yeah, more gunners. It's a very, very exciting team to watch. Also, in the middle, Andres Pereira, a former United player. So yeah, a really good team to watch.
Okay. Nige, is this the one where it's a must win for Fulham?
Yeah, I think at home you want to turn the results, especially against a Newcastle team, will give them a lot of confidence. But I don't see a win. I see a draw, especially because they're at home. I see them holding Newcastle.
All right. Well, staying with the Saturday fixtures, we have Southampton up against Ipswich Town. Now, Southampton having an absolutely horrible time in the Premier League. 4 games, 4 defeats. Ipswich with back-to-back draws coming into this and a bit of form for them.
Yeah, I think the surprise package for me so far in this 4 games of the Premier League, I didn't expect much from Ipswich. And, well, surprised by them. I think they are the two draws back-to-back against a Brighton team and a Fulham team, which is really difficult to get. And yeah, I think that will have them in high spirits heading to this one.
Well, of course, they started with Liverpool and Man City. I mean, no Premier League club wants to face those two. But, you know, I think the manager would have probably looked at them and said, you know, we've got arguably the two best teams in a league by goals, if that's an accurate margin. But, you know, Kieran McKenna, of course, has come and done an absolutely incredible job. 2 points in the Premier League is massive. But, you know, do you think that Ipswich, there's more that we can expect from them in future? Because, you know, I want to say that the worst is over. You know, the likes of Villa, West Ham, Everton, Brentford all come after this Ipswich, the Southampton fixture.
Yeah, I think it was a baptism of fire coming into the Premier League. They've got those two tough ones out the way and managed to get two really good draws against two tough teams. So the confidence will be there. And now it's a really good opportunity to make it 3 against fellow promoted team in Southampton.
Yeah, you know, with everything on the line, I'm sure there's going to be goals. But can you see a winner?
Yeah, I'm actually going Southampton for the win. I think they get their first win in the season at home. I think they were good for the first 20 to 30 minutes against United last week. And yeah, I think with a lot riding on it, I think they get over the line for their first win.
I see. All right. Well, the next fixture sees your North London rival Tottenham come up against another rival in the likes of Brentford. Now, of course, both teams scoring 6 goals apiece in this Premier League season so far. Which attack right now looks better?
I think on paper I would have to say Spurs, but I wouldn't discount the Brentford attacker from Mbeumo and Vissa. I think they both very deadly attackers, and yeah.
It's no back-to-back league losses for Tottenham Hotspur. Of course, 2-1 defeat against Newcastle is followed up by that 1-0 defeat against Arsenal at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Can you see a bit of a change coming into this one for Ange?
Yeah, I think there'll be pressure on them to get a result, no doubt. Back-to-back league losses is not a good look, especially with them targeting a Champions League finish. They've beaten Coventry last night in the Carabao Cup, which could be a confidence booster heading into this one. And yeah, with a home patch, they would want to get a 3 points against Brentford.
Well, it's not going to be easy because Brentford themselves come into this one with 2 wins from their opening 4. Now, of course, those 2 league losses was against Liverpool and Man City. I can't really fault Thomas Frank for that, considering they took the lead at the Etihad against Man City.
No doubt, Desh. I think Thomas Frank and this Brentford outfit are one of the better teams in this league, tactically and physically. I think they've got physical players that can play you off the pitch, not just bully you, but run you off the pitch. And then at the top half, they've got Vissa and Mbeumo. Well, Vissa in now injured, but players like Vissa and Mbeumo who can really hurt you.
Yeah. Where do you think the ceiling is for this Brentford team? Because, you know, they've been punching above their weight for years. And, you know, they've, of course, just made the next round of the EFL Cup. So can you see possibly a trophy or at least a run in a cup this season?
I see that they, I feel that they could target definitely a Carabao Cup trophy, probably a cup run in the FA Cup. And in terms of the league, I wouldn't rule out a European spot in at the Europa League at level, or even the Conference League. I think Brentford are that good. If they do have a little bit of luck with injuries, I think Vissa has been a major miss. And last season, they had a ton of time with injuries. So if they do have a bit of luck, I see that.
All right. Well, are they going to have any luck against Tottenham this weekend?
Look, I mean, Spurs are just, every time you say that they're good, they disappoint you. So I wouldn't want to bet money on Spurs. That's why I'm backing the draw here. I think Brentford go there and get a draw.
All right. Well, the next fixture sees a relegation threatened Everton out for which we've, let's be honest, we've come, it's familiar now. It's actually a common theme. It doesn't shock anybody, especially the Everton fans. They're, of course, away to the Foxes, Leicester City. We've got 39-year-old Jamie Vardy still in their ranks.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, where do you want to start?
Gosh, I think Jamie Vardy is always having a party, so we could start there. But look, Everton themselves, I don't know how Daesh has managed to put up with this team for this long. I mean, you look at their squad, and on paper, they have a really good team. I don't see them at all having four losses at this stage of the season. I think they have been at the wrong end of the stick, and the quicker they turn it around, the better.
Okay, let's actually unpack Everton's season then. You know, they started off against Brighton, 3-0 defeat on home soil. Not the best of results, but maybe we'll give the credit to the Brighton manager. Of course, he's done an absolutely incredible job so far.
Yeah, I think Brighton are one of the better teams in the Premier League this season. Players that can hurt you as well. So, yeah, look, no doubt, better team than Everton.
Yeah, of course, they follow that up with a 4-0 drubbing at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium as the Londoners ran riot over them.
Yeah, that was a bit of a disappointing result. I think they have to hold their hands up for that one, no doubt.
Yeah, that result was then followed up by a 3-2 defeat, a home defeat against a Bournemouth team who were losing with 5 minutes to play.
Yeah, I think you got to manage games better. I think especially if you know you're going to be in a dogfight with 5-10 minutes to go, you got to hold on to that result for dear life, and yeah, definitely let that one slip.
They didn't in that fixture. And then there was, of course, a way to Villa Park, where, of course, Everton opened the scoring, but, of course, couldn't shut the villains out.
Yeah, again, they're not managing the game well enough. I think Daesh will be livid. His team should be better than this, and they should not be 20th with four losses at this stage of the season.
Yeah. Would you say this is actually a winnable fixture for Everton? I mean, Leicester themselves haven't really had that much joy. Of course, a draw to Tottenham, and Crystal Palace came on either side of defeats to Fulham and Aston Villa.
Yeah, 100%. I definitely feel like Everton are targeting this game for a first win in the league this season. It wouldn't come at a better opportunity for them. And yeah, Leicester, I feel, are there for the taking.
Yeah, you know, following this, Crystal Palace and Newcastle will come to Goodison Park, of course, for the final time as Everton bid farewell to their stadium. How important are these next short-term fixtures?
Yeah, it's very important. It's crucial, in fact. If they don't turn it around as quickly as possible, they could find themselves leaving themselves with a lot to do going into that Christmas period, where, you know, it's a busy period, and yeah, you don't want to find yourself in a dogfight at Christmas.
Yeah, do you think this Everton team have it in them to maybe get their season started at Leicester?
Yeah, I think they grab the win here, and season starts this weekend.
All right, what's the scoreline looking like?
I'm going Everton 2-1.
Okay. Liverpool are hosting Bournemouth. Is it going to be all systems go for Arne Slot? Of course, in his most recent fixture, they were defeated 1-0 by Nottingham Forest. Surely he'll want to set the record straight.
Yeah, I think it's back to business for Liverpool. They don't lose twice in a row at Anfield. They don't lose once in a row. So I was really shocked at the last week's defeat. So they turned things around, no doubt. I think they were excellent against AC Milan in the Champions League midweek. And yeah, look, just top attackers that can take the game away from you.
Yeah, of course, that was the first goal that they've actually conceded in the Premier League thus far. quite impressive, nevertheless.
Yeah, no doubt. I think when you look back at Liverpool, you always think of them as a team that will outscore you, but they've done really well at the other end of the season. I think they've got a riches of to choose from in Van Dijk, Trent, and Robertson. You throw in Konate there, and you add in the keeper, Alisson. You've got a world-class defense.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's safe to say that disappointing defeat against Nottingham Forest is just going to be chalked off the board because, you know, you got the likes of Luis Diaz, Salah, looking at the absolute best, Dominic Szoboszlai playing more advanced than he was last season. Of course, McAllister and Ryan Gravenberch looked like an incredible partnership in the middle of the park.
Yeah, 100% agree. I think Arne Slot has come in and looks to have revitalized this Liverpool team. They look like they're playing even better football, technically, short passes, springing Salah on the wing. And yeah, it really is frightening.
Yeah, you know, speaking about frightening, look at how well they're attacking. And then you look at the likes of Darwin Nunez, who found himself on the bench. Do you think that should have happened maybe sooner?
I think he seems like he might be out of favor here with Arne Slot. Can't get into the team, finding very few minutes as well. But yeah, I think considering the chances that he's missed and the pressure that he's been under, maybe this might do well for him, take him out the spotlight and yeah, deal with him behind the scenes a bit.
Mm. Well, their opponents this weekend is Bournemouth, who will find themselves 11th position. Now, you know, last time out, it was a narrow 1-0 defeat to Chelsea. Of course, they had a very spirited performance against the Blues, conceding late on in the 86th minute to have nothing to show from that game. Is Mr. Raiola the man for the job?
Yeah, I feel he is. I think last season they were one of the better teams in the Premier League tactically. And for all due respect to Bournemouth for being a smaller team, I think they won that you can't discount when playing against them, no doubt.
Yeah, well, of course, in that fixture against Chelsea, they attempted 19 shots, which was incredible considering their opponents only attempted 10. Is the likes of Ivan Nielsen, Marcus Tavernier, Justin Kluivert going to see them through the season?
You would hope so. I think Dominic Solanke is going to be a major miss. But yeah, like you mentioned, Ivan Nielsen, the new signing, hopefully he can come good and yeah, start firing for them.
All right. Well, is he going to find the back of the net this weekend at Anfield?
I think it's going to be very difficult. I think it's going to be one-way traffic for them to deal with at Anfield. And I think Liverpool get the win.
Okay. Well, looking ahead to the final clash on Sunday, Crystal Palace are hosting Manchester United. Now, how big of a win was it for Man United in the week against Barnsley? I think running out 7-0 winners.
Yeah, I think a real good confidence booster for Ten Hag's men, following up from the 3-1 victory against Southampton. I think you've got a breed winning, and it will bode well for them in the dressing room, take a lot of pressure off them. And now a real good opportunity to make it 3-from-3 against Palace.
Yeah, you know, you're speaking about 3-from-3. Of course, you're talking about that 3-0 win against Southampton, where the likes of Marcus Rashford, Matthias Ligt, and Alejandro Garnacho found a back of the net.
Yeah, I think it was a really good performance. Following the Onana save from the penalty, kind of turned things around for them. And yeah, a real professional performance in the end to get back to winning ways from United.
Of course, this came after a 3-0 defeat at home to Liverpool. Do you think Ten Hag would have maybe told his charges that, you know what, well, let's just put that behind us, move on? The international break obviously has come and gone, but that performance, you know, would maybe echo their season.
Yeah, I think it's never easy losing to your major rivals, especially in that manner. And they would want to put that behind them as quickly as possible. And I think they've done that really well to get a really good victory against Southampton and then hit 7 against Barnsley midweek. And yeah, look, it's going to bode well for them in the dressing room ahead of this Palace clash.
Okay, can you see them actually taking that form? Because Palace haven't really hit the ground running this season. You know, defeats to Brentford and Crystal Palace were followed up by draws to Chelsea and Leicester respectively. Now, if you look at last season, Palace were absolutely incredible under new man Oliver Glasner, but now it really looks to be a case of the new manager bounce because they're currently languishing in 16th position, just 1 point above the drop. Are United going to go there and say, this is the winnable fixture for them.
Yeah, no doubt they have to target it, especially with the form that Palace are in right now. They don't look like the team like that you mentioned last season, where you were really scared to go to Salas Park with Mateta in that form, and Glasner got them playing so well. So they look a shade off that. And if they are anywhere close to that, they will cause United some trouble, but I don't see it happening.
Okay, scoreline here.
I'm going United 2-1.
Okay, well, the final fixture on our cards sees Brighton hosting Nottingham Forest. Now, Brighton, of course, started the season like a house on fire. Back-to-back league wins before back-to-back league draws. Is this where they turn things around?
Yeah, I think these two teams are two of the better teams in the league, two very entertaining teams to watch. And I think Brighton at home?
Yep.
I think Brighton at home might just be too good for them, but a safer bet would be both teams to score.
Yeah, well, you know, it's absolutely incredible reading when you see it's sixth hosting seventh. I mean, this is Brighton and Nottingham Forest that we're talking about just a couple seasons ago. They were nowhere in the Premier League.
It just goes to show the level of the Premier League and the competitiveness. These are two minnow teams, all due respect, but now fighting it out for a European spot.
Yeah. Do you think that fixture against Liverpool was a flash in the pan performance from Nuno's men? Of course, it was slim pickings before then. They haven't scored more than one goal in a fixture in the league this season.
I don't really think it's a flash in the pan. It's really difficult to go to Anfield and get a result. Even last season against Arsenal, they managed to suffocate Arsenal, not create many chances, and also hit on the counter. I think they have players in their team that are suited to that style so well. Morgan Gibbs-White is an excellent player. Can hit you on the transition. So can Chris Wood and Awanoi. The big striker, a really good player. So I think they built for that, and they can get a big scalp on their day, no doubt.
All right. Well, with that being said, which way can you see this one going?
I can't pick a winner in this. I think they're two very good teams, and I'm going for both teams to score in a draw.
All right. Well, you've heard it right here, football fans. England football analyst Nigel Naicker offering us his predictions for this weekend. We're going to have to wait and see how his calls play out. From all of us in studio, thanks and goodbye.